This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
No matter where you work from these days,
take Jones and Keefe with you on the Odyssey app.
Favorite WEEI.
Might we see Christian Gonzalez today?
Well, I don't think we'll see him today. Continuing to improve, which is positive, and working hard. But I don't think we'll see him today on the practice field. So, again, just working hard, keep improving, staying engaged. Still preparing as a starter and asking questions in the meetings and all those things. So that's where we're at.
Jones and Keith here on WEEI. That was Mike Vrabel yesterday on Christian Gonzalez. We'll get into his availability or lack thereof coming up in just a little bit. Who's calling the plays on defense? We'll cover that as well. We got grab bag for you. We got clip du jour for you. Before we get out of here at 2 o'clock, WEEI Afternoons takes over at that point with Hart and Fitzy and Ted, former friend of the Jones and Keefe show. He was on WEEI Afternoons last week. Special teams coordinator Jeremy Springer.
Oh, that's right.
Just wrapped up talking. McDaniels is going to talk here shortly, so I'm monitoring some of the comments coming out. Yeah. I was amused by this. Jeremy Springer on Andy Borgalis missing a field goal in the opener.
Mm-hmm.
He said that foot placement was the primary issue that led to the miscue.
The bad foot?
Well, I would imagine that's, outside of a bad exchange, bad snap, I'd imagine that's typically the issue on a miscue.
If it's not a bad snap or a bad hold, chances are it is the kicker's fault.
Like, I'd
put it on the feet.
I am not a special teams coordinator. I don't want to oversimplify the man's job. I'm sure there's more complexity to it than I realize. But bad foot on that one, which we're going to want to get.
Good feet.
We're going to want to get that. I'm famously a member of Team Feet, Keith, which is why I'd like to see Drake May run more. It's like, oh, yeah, that's a dirty foot.
Yeah, I am very skeptical of Borgalis. Like, going into the year, you're like, that's kind of shaky during camp.
No, your take was they're going to lose
a game.
Lose a game, at least, because of their kicker. And I don't think they lost week one because of it, but I can see how they're going to lose it because of this guy.
But clearly, it also didn't help what happened there. But, yeah, it's just shaky. You don't have that confidence when he lines up. I think a lot of rookie kickers, you know, similar to what we said about Drake May and, like, fourth quarter comebacks, and, like, you have to see it until you really believe it. Same thing with rookie kickers. Like, let's see him make a bunch of kicks in a row or at least a couple of difficult kicks. And then you're like, all right, nobody's going to make 100% of their kicks. That's fine. But first one off the rip, you miss it, you're like, oh, boy.
So
it could be a long year for him.
Yeah, no, for sure. So let's monitor what McDaniels says when he meets with the media coming up. We'll pass along anything relevant that he says about Drake May, his plate, his leash. We've ventured into a lot of plate talk this week, Keith. We've ventured
tons
into leash
of Drake's
talk.
Plates.
Unleashed, off the leash.
I think he's off leash.
How much leash should he have? We've kind of shifted gears into leash talk. So we'll see if we get any of that with Josh McDaniels today. Meanwhile, you heard Vrabel yesterday. I still can't believe Gonzalez isn't back.
Man, yeah, this is not promising. We're now over 6 weeks. I believe, since the hamstring injury, which the report, which could be wrong, you've mentioned this before, could be wrong. And it's also tough to really know with injuries. Maybe also maybe it was true and there was a setback or whatever, but they like no risk in missing week one. All right. Well, he missed week one and wasn't even close. He wasn't questionable last week. It wasn't a game time decision last week. He was just out, never practiced.
Never got on the field. You'll see this in the NFL, and we might see it this week with Gonzalez, but you'll see it. A guy gets out there for the Friday walkthrough, kind of jog through, get your feet under you so next week you can practice in full. We didn't even get that out of him last week.
Yeah, I would think you would have to have either a full week of practice or a week plus, at the very least, like you said, limited, then full, then he goes, or something like that.
Yeah.
Because I get all the, you know, you want to be careful with it. You don't want to have any kind of a setback, whether it's re-aggravating that injury or because of that injury, you hurt something else. You see that in sports all the time. But it does seem like we're getting up there towards, you know, when he should be back, and it doesn't seem all that great. It doesn't seem like it's really that close. You know, he was just being asked about it yesterday, and Vrabel's just like, no, not today. And you're like, all right, well, then I don't really know when he is. Could be looking at two games for a guy that, you know, was out the vast majority of his rookie year and is looking to have a really good year this year in order to get the big Sauce Gardner payday. I don't think you can go through the season missing a bunch of it and then still expect to get paid the same.
Yeah. So I think the team told you they expect him back by the Panthers game at the latest, right? And even Chris Godwin, I just saw this today. I mentioned his name earlier in the show. He's practicing today with Tampa. Now, I don't think he's expected back. That's why they didn't put him on PUP or whatever it was, IR, to start the year because they wanted him to practice. But he's practicing right now with Tampa. And I forget his exact injury last year. Was he an ACL or was he an ankle? What was his injury? I don't remember.
I think it was an ankle. And then I read that he had a second surgery to kind of clean stuff up so he could get back faster. But he's still out like 6 weeks.
So they – and when initially when he avoided PUP, this was reported – that they're not putting him on that list because they want him to practice in the meantime, but they're not going to rush him back. He won't be back till October. There's nothing like that on Gonzalez. The only report we ever got was he was supposed to be back for week one.
Yeah.
So maybe that was a bad report for Jordan Schultz, or maybe he had a setback, or maybe the team expects him back and he's slow playing it. So the team told you, with the lack of putting him on PUP or IR, they told you they expect him back by the Panthers game. It doesn't sound like he's playing against the Dolphins.
No.
Will he start practicing next week for Pittsburgh or the week after that?
Steelers.
If we hit that point in time, Keith, I think we can really start looking at Gonzalez and go, now we know the team thought he was going to be back. I think they probably told Jordan Schultz he'd be back week one. Maybe it was his agent. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think it was already out there that he's going to be back week one. There was no pushback on the initial report from Schultz. Then they didn't put him on PUP. If he's not back in the first month, something else is going on.
Yeah, it feels like something sticks. The only
because you've been hesitant to go to the contract side of it.
I just don't think it makes sense because there's not something they can do right now.
But if he misses the first month, will you start to shift gears to there's something bigger at work with Gonzalez?
Yeah, the only outlier would be
setback.
Yeah,
there's been no report of that.
No, there hasn't. But that would be the one thing they could even lie to us about and say, you know, like Willie Abreu obviously wants to be back out there on the field for the Red Sox. I feel like the team probably thought he was going to be out there sooner for the Red Sox, and it just his body hasn't allowed him to be. So there still is a little bit of that. And honestly, if it wasn't for Vrabel's comment about maximizing his players' financial potential, I wouldn't think there was anything to this other than he's slow at recovering or he had a setback.
Well, I wouldn't think that either because they can't offer him an extension right now.
That's my point. It's like an NBA player all their different rules.
But they can start to negotiate. Like, I don't think they're going to wake up the second they can offer him a contract and say, all right, let's start talking contract. I think I'd imagine if, I don't know Gonzo's agent, maybe I should, but I'd imagine if he has a good one, the second Sauce Gardner signed and J.C. Horn signed and Patrick Surtain signed, and who else am I missing? All these guys got their money. He gets on the phone with Kraft or Wolf or Cowden or whomever and says, guys, this is what we're thinking for Gonzo, right? Like, I know you can't offer it today, but you're planning on offering that, right? Or you're planning on offering that plus X because the cap is going up. Like, I'd imagine they're already having those conversations. They can't offer it, but I imagine there's having those conversations, and maybe Gonzo's camp doesn't like where those conversations are going.
He has three agents listed.
Oh,
so
nice.
He's with CAA Football.
Oh, good.
Whatever that is.
CAA.
So, I mean, they can figure it out. But
good management. I don't know the specific agents, but good management.
It seems, but like to me, if you play it out, wouldn't the agents, maybe they're talking to the Patriots, but it's so early to talk to the Patriots. I mean, there were years with Bill Belichick and the Patriots where their first round picks, they would make play out the fifth year deal and then still wait to the end. Like Vince Wilfork.
Sure.
Waited to the very end. You had him under team control for 5 years. But even if Sauce Gardner signs and they're like, hey, that looks pretty good to us, doesn't it? And the Patriots could be like, yeah, play the year, look good, and then let's renegotiate, let's reset. I could see him or any player threatening to hold out for that year four or like another, you know,
right, but
whatever
gotta,
the last year.
But we got to get there.
You're not even close. You're not even close to there. And if anything, this would go against it. Be like, all right, like how committed are you to winning?
Do you buy, I've heard Phil say this, do you buy into any of the scuttlebutt about Sauce Gardner last year? He's making business decisions all year and wouldn't tackle, prioritize his health because he knew last year was his year going into free agent, being extension eligible where he got his big payday from the Jets.
Yeah, I mean, that's scary if that's true. I mean, I get that guys do it. I get it's super important and maybe even at the top of the list, but in order to get paid, you need to play well. At least that's how I would view it.
Fair. So you said something earlier, which I do agree with. If Vrabel never said anything about the contract out of thin air, it wouldn't be on my radar either.
Yeah.
But he did. Yeah. So, and I part of the reason I wonder if there's something up with the contract, we don't know. But part of the reason I wonder is because Vrabel brought that up out of nowhere.
But play
and
this
we,
out.
And we said the second we aired that live, the second it ended, we're like, what was that?
It was so strange because it wasn't about that at all. It wasn't even like a leading question, and then he just kind of answered it like, you know, he was maybe caught off guard. He offered it up. It was like, hey, Drake May is like a young leader on offense. Like, what about Gonzalez on defense? And he's like, well, guy wants to get paid. No, he didn't say that, but like, you know,
no,
what I mean?
He,
like,
said, he brought my up, job like, is to maximize his earning.
That's
potential.
My job. And I'm like, wow, that sounds like a college coach more than anything else, but whatever. That's how he viewed it. And I think players would probably hear that and say, oh, that's great. I like to hear that from a former player who's now a coach and he wants to maximize our earning potential. But I think the way to really do it would be to have like an all pro season. Like you're on a lot of these preseason lists, like you're a good corner, but if you don't play, you're not going to be on those lists, or at least you shouldn't be. Like, let's play this out. If he has eight good games, say he plays eight games this year, and he's good, does he get the Sauce Gardner deal? If I'm the Patriots, I wouldn't. And I'm always, like, on the side of the players, well, look, but I'd be like, you're not playing.
Let me ask you a different question, because my answer would be probably not. But let me ask a different question. Does he want it? Like,
oh.
So,
oh, you mean here?
Yeah, so, no. I'm saying regardless of whether I would pay him or the Crafts would pay him. Is that what he wants? And is that already some of what's going on?
Oh, right. Like, no, he probably wants more. I mean, you're the next guy up. You want more.
The Patriots might be in the right, for all I know, to sit there and go, well, yeah, we'll negotiate with you next offseason. I'm not even saying they're wrong. But that might not be how he and his camp view it. They might be like, let's start talking now. Because when I'm extension eligible, I want it. When did J.C. Horn get paid?
Oh, that
was it 2 years ago? He played six games 2 years ago. Last year, he played 15. Mm-hmm. So I don't know the timeline on when he got paid. He's a corner I know was injured recently.
Do you know how many games Sauce Gardner played before he got paid?
50.
Yeah, 48.
Yeah.
Played in 48 games before he got paid. Gonzo's played in 20?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not, again, the Patriots might be right to say, hey, we want to see more. That doesn't mean that's what he wants to do. Mm-hmm. So how would his return, whenever it is, impact?
J.C. Horn signed March 10th.
This year. Okay, so he played 15 games last year, so that makes your point. I was going to say, if they paid him after the six games, that might be a good comp. Or he only played in six games and missed more than half a year. 617-779-7937. How will Christian Gonzalez's return change how they call the defense? And by the way, who is calling
the defense? Who's calling the defense?
Let's get to that in a moment. I just saw a tweet from Bedard.
All right.
Bedard has watched the Dolphins and Colts film, Keith.
Brag.
Big time
on
brag.
His behalf. Yep.
Good for him.
Yep.
He says, yes, Miami had some really bad plays, and I know nothing of its internal dynamics. I know nothing of it either, but I have some guesses. He says, but I think a lot of the game was that the Colts are pretty good. Who knows about the QB, meaning Daniel Jones? But he thinks the Colts
are good.
I know
about the QB. The QB stinks.
Okay.
Daniel Jones?
He says, there was some good Miami stuff in the film as well. I don't think they're a disaster, .. yet. So he's actually talking up the Dolphins film a little bit.
Which one of their 8 points was your favorite? Yeah, I don't think the Dolphins are very good. Now the counter would be how good are the Patriots,
correct,
which I understand. But yeah, I don't think the Colts and the Dolphins are going to be duking it out for any big meaningful games late in the year.
All right, so
can I give you a couple McDaniels nuggets that are trickling out?
Oh yeah, go for it.
Mike Reese posts: what did you learn about the three running backs in the opener?
The Cerberus. I'm sure that's what Reese asked.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. He didn't. He left that out for some reason.
Dang. Maybe he's just editing himself. Yeah.
What'd you learn about the Cerberus backfield?
Yeah.
I'm going to paraphrase.
Yeah.
What'd you learn about the Cerberus backfield? McDaniels, quote, they need the ball more.
Oh.
So good. I think they're going to run the ball more.
Good. I agree. I think after – I said this earlier in the show. Vrabel is either going to tell McDaniels to do it or McDaniels is going to realize it himself. They weren't getting blown out. The fact they went away from the run is kind of crazy in retrospect.
Yeah.
And I bet they realized
that.
They
do need the ball more.
That sounds like they realized that.
Our guy Taylor Kyles, who was on our show yesterday, he says that Josh McDaniels says he thought Drake May protected himself well versus the Raiders, which the offensive coordinator adds is an area where May has grown.
So that's patting himself on the ass there.
Correct.
Like, I did a good job coaching that out of him, the recklessness.
But, so I don't like this.
No,
so this,
I don't like
and
that either.
Neither do you. And I feel like Vrabel was in this too. I would lump Vrabel and McDaniels together based on everything that they said.
On this, the running quarterback and protecting
they agree.
Him, they, I think they're aligned, yeah.
But I think May was being like almost comical with the way that he slid. He had some weird slides where it was just like nobody near him, and he just like falls down and like puts his feet way up in the air, lands like almost on his back, and he's like, I'm down. And they're like, yes, good one. So it's like, great. I'm not saying you lower your shoulder like you're Jerome Bettis trying to pick up an extra yard, or if the first read isn't there, you take off and run. There's got to be some middle ground there. Where he can still run, like pop on, I know it's college, but pop on some of like the North Carolina highlights of him. Let him run around a little bit. Make defenses worried about him, not this like panicked run and slide. He shouldn't run the way like Brady and Mac Jones ran.
No.
Like, he can't, he can do it.
Yeah, it's silly to put the governor on him. There's a few more details on May. Did you see these? McDaniels was asked if there's too much on Drake's plate. He says, no. He then went on to say that Drake is going to be a really good player. He said he's a young quarterback, and I'm reading from Andrew Callahan here, so there's like an ellipsis in here. So there's a delay. I don't know what the full comment is, but he says he's a young quarterback, .. He's the right guy. So McDaniels thinks he's the guy.
Okay.
At least he's saying he thinks he's the guy.
So
there you go.
But there's not too much on his plate.
Okay.
He said no.
We'll monitor more from Josh McDaniels in the meantime. Who should call plays for the Patriots this weekend, Keefe? I don't know if there's been an update on Terrell Williams today. If there is, I haven't seen it. We're supposed to get one later in the week, quote-unquote, is what Mike Vrabel said yesterday. So Vrabel said it's going to be maybe him, maybe Zach Kerr. Who should call plays Sunday against what Greg Bedard thinks is not a disaster Miami Dolphins offense?
It should be Mike Vrabel. I mean, I feel like it's way too harsh to say like it's a desperate game for him because it's week two. But with everything going on, the performance that you had in week one combined with what Miami is and what they looked like last week, I think you just need to do whatever is best for the team right now. Because ideally, Terrell Williams comes back and is your D coordinator. And you know what? If he isn't, that's another decision to make down the road, down the line. This is an area where Mike Vrabel has done it in the past and should do it now. You know, the bigger debate would be like, if McDaniels wasn't calling plays, and then like, all right, where that trickle down is and blah, blah, blah. This one seems like an obvious, all right, your defensive head coach, who was a defensive coordinator, your coordinator's down. Rather than the inside linebackers coach in his mid-30s that has never done it versus somebody with all the experience that Vrabel has, I'd rather Vrabel do it. Now, what Terrell Williams' season looks like, they have a better sense than we do. So maybe you're kind of coaching up Zach Kerr
right
during the next few weeks to be like, hey, we might want to at some point have you do this.
Right.
But for week two, I'm having Vrabel do it.
Yeah. For Sunday, Vrabel should call plays. I'm with you 100%. If Kerr's calling him by the end of the year because Terrell Williams needs to stay away for the rest of the year, which we're getting ahead of ourselves. We don't know that. If I were, and I know it's a big opportunity for him to be a defensive coordinator for the first time and call defensive plays for the first time.
Yeah, and that's a lot.
Maybe has aspirations to be a head coach or whatever. Like, I don't want him to miss out on that opportunity, but I'd probably tell him to take some time and hope for the best for him. So assuming he's going to be out for an extended period and he's had a number of health scares already, maybe you're coaching up Kerr for later in the year, but you're right. On Sunday, it's Vrabel. And you make a good point. You're not asking him to call offensive plays or do something he's never done where the head coach is picking up the slack. You're asking him to do something he's done before to win an important game. You know, some have called it a must win. You and I haven't gone there, but it's getting
there. No, it's closer to that, though.
But it's an important game. It's a big game for your whole operation. Get in there and call plays on Sunday. That's who should, I think, call plays this weekend. Mm-hmm. So I'd agree with you on that. And, you know, I'd hate to come out of the game if I'm Mike Vrabel kicking myself because a guy calling plays for the first time, Zach Kerr, doesn't know how to limit a big play here or a big play there. You made a great point earlier. It's like this opponent, Keith, Tyreek Hill or Jaylen Waddle, you screw up a play call, it's 85 yards to the house.
You're like, oh, we you know, dialed up a good defense except for that one third and 10 where Tyreek Hill took it 75 yards.
Right.
Like, yeah.
And so I know what the Raiders did to the Patriots last week, but I would say the Raiders, with a lack of real explosive playmakers, maybe that's a better game for a guy like Zach Kerr. The Dolphins, with explosive playmakers, they might not be able to get on the ball the way Tua played.
Right, true.
But if they do, look out. Vrabel should be calling plays this weekend. And he's going to talk tomorrow. Maybe we'll get our answer on that. Josh McDaniels continues to speak right now. Anything else that trickles out?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll be sure to pass it along here on Jones and Keefe. You can stay tuned for WEEI Afternoons. They come your way at 2 o'clock. You got Hart. You got Fitzy. You got Ted. We'll get you the clip du jour coming up. And right after Trending with Billy Lanny, it's time for Grab Bag.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.